Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. In our last program, we discovered, through the Scriptures and through history, the identity of the two-horned beast spoken of in Revelation chapter 13. And the identity of the two-horned beast is none other than the Catholic Church. That's right, the Catholic Church. Now, I know that may sound offensive. Again, I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm talking about a false Christian church with pagan practices and abominable practices. But many of the people are good people. They are simply deceived. So we have, from Scripture and from history, the identity revealed of the two-horned beast, and it is the Catholic Church. Now, also in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, it talks about a beast, it talks about the image of the beast, and it talks about the mark of the beast. In previous programs, we showed that the beast is the resurrected Roman Empire. Again, we just got finished saying that the two-horned beast, which is different from the first beast who had its deadly wound healed, which is the resurrected Roman Empire, we discussed that the two-horned beast is the Catholic Church. Now, in today's program, we're going to discuss who or what is the image of the beast. And then in a future program, we'll talk about the mark of the beast. So again, we have the beast, which is the beast that had its deadly wound healed, the resurrected Roman Empire, which was resurrected in 554 AD by Justinian. Then we have the two-horned beast, which is the Catholic Church that works in concert with the resurrected Roman Empire. And we mentioned from Scripture that it worked in concert with it for 1260 years. So if it started in 554 AD, that means it would have ended in 1814 AD. So now we have those two beasts identified. So what or who is the image of the beast? Well, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 13, and we'll read verses 13 through 14. The two-horned beast, which is the Catholic Church, does great wonders so that it makes fire come down from heaven onto the earth in the sight of men. And it deceives those dwelling on the earth because of the miracles which were given to it to do before the beast. Speaking of the resurrected Roman Empire there. Saying, this is what this two-horned beast said, saying to those dwelling on the earth that they should make an image of the beast. And which is the beast that it's referring to when it says that it, the two-horned beast, should make an image of the beast? Which beast is it making an image of? The Scripture is clear, and let it explain itself. To make an image of the beast who had the wound by a sword and lived. So this is this beast that had the deadly wound. It had a deadly wound by a sword, which means that it died in 476 AD. The original Roman Empire died in 476 AD, but it says that it had a wound by a sword and it lived. It came back to life in 554 AD through Justinian with his imperial restoration of the Roman Empire. So we have here then very clearly this two-horned beast, which is the Catholic Church, making an image of the resurrected Roman Empire. So the image of the beast is a replica, a model, a copy of the resurrected Roman Empire. And just by turning to a dictionary, if you look up the word image, it will give you the definition of a likeness, a copy, representation, model, semblance, counterpart. These are all words, synonyms for image. What you have then is a great church saying, let us make a model or a counterpart of the civil Roman government. It's a church saying, we want to pattern ourselves after the civil Roman government. This is the image, the pattern of the civil Roman government. Therefore, the image of the Roman Empire is the Catholic Church. Isn't it even interesting that the Catholic Church calls itself, what? The Roman Catholic Church. Not just the Catholic Church, but the Roman Catholic Church. Why does it call itself the Roman Catholic Church? It's because it patterned itself, made an image of the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire had an image made of it, which is the Roman Catholic Church. Very, very clear from scriptures. And I'm going to express this in four different ways to make it even more clear and to add emphasis to it. The two-horned beast is made in the likeness of the first beast. That's point number one. Point number two, if you want to express it this way, the two-horned beast formed a church government that is a copy of the civil government of the beast whose deadly wound was healed. A third way to express this, the Roman Catholic Church is modeled after the resurrected Roman Empire. A fourth way of expressing it, the Catholic Church is the image of the beast. The Catholic Church is the image of the Roman Empire. I can't express it, or maybe I could find another, a fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth way of expressing it, but I can't think of another way to make it more clear. I hope that you have gotten this point, and I hope that it is clear from the scriptures. Now, all or virtually all humanly devised church government has derived its format from this image of the beast. In other words, you have the Catholic Church, which set up a church form of government that is patterned after the civil form of government of the resurrected Roman Empire. But this church government, which is an image of the civil government, this church government, every other Christian church that has been formed after this Catholic Church has really adopted the same form of government. And why can we say that this is so abominable? The reason why we can say this is because this humanly devised government has its own man-made laws. It has its own carnal way, satanic way, in fact, of doing things. But God's government, it's a divine government by the will of God and by the laws of God. Christ, he is the one who is the head of the church. There's nobody else who is the head of the church. And God's kingdom is not of this world. We can't pattern church government in God's true church after a worldly government. Our government has to be inspired from the truth of the scriptures, not from man-made laws. We can't pattern ourselves, make an image of man-made government. We have to allow God to teach us his government. And God's government, his kingdom, is not of this world. That is why this image of the beast is so abominable, so idolatrous, so blasphemous. Now let's go back to a little bit of history. The first pope, in the real sense of the word, was Leo the First. He was the first pope in the real sense of the word, Leo the First. And he was pope from 440 to 461 AD. And you can find this in the Cyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature, Volume 7, page 629. To him, speaking of Pope Leo the First, to him, the form of government of the Roman Empire was the most marvelous thing on earth. It became an obsession. He applied its principles to the church, organized the church into a government, forming the papacy or papacy. And then says Myers in his book, Ancient History, that during the reign of Leo I, the church set up within the Roman Empire an ecclesiastical state government which in its constitution and its administrative system was shaping itself upon the imperial model. Speaking of the imperial restoration of the Roman Empire. So that was the model. And did you get that word? The church government is a model of the state government. Okay, so listen to five ways in which the Roman church is a model or a pattern of the Roman Empire. Rome had an emperor. The Catholic Church has a pope. Rome had a senate. The Catholic Church has a senate of cardinals. Rome had a sovereign empire. The Catholic Church has a sovereign empire, which is the Vatican City. Rome ruled the world. The Roman Catholic Church ruled Rome. Rome persecuted dissenters to death. Catholics persecuted heretics to death. And of course, many of these heretics were simply protesting many of the abominable and idolatrous beliefs and practices of the Catholic Church. These protesters became known as Protestants. 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 And Protestants were doing the right thing in terms of protesting against false Christianity, because God instructs us to come out of her, my people. You can find that statement in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. So they were doing the right thing in coming out of false Christianity and protest. But unfortunately, Protestants only came part of the way out of false Christianity. That's right. Protestants only came part of the way out of false Christianity. In our next program, I'm going to show you some of the parts of Catholicism that Protestants came out of. And then in the following program, I'm going to show you what God says about the fact that Protestantism has not totally divested itself of the idolatrous and pagan practices of her mother, the Catholic Church.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.